to do an exam and get these sorts of grades. That is due to, you know, Allah giving us the capacity to learn, about giving us the capacity to like have equipping us with reasonable intelligence and so on, giving us the focus and so on. So it's always Alhamdulillah and Allah giving us maybe some very good teachers who prepare us to do well and so on. Now, what does thankfulness actually do? So thankfulness, the effect is said to be different things such as humility. Because obviously if we're thankful, it means that rather than saying, and we hear this a lot, so rather than saying, oh, you know, I got 20 out of 20, or oh, I got this new job with this high salary, rather than thinking that, oh, this is due to us being so amazing and wonderful and intelligent, we're saying, oh, Alhamdulillah, thank you, Allah, for giving this to me, allowing me to have this. So it makes us humble. It fills us with awe, because obviously we're aware that, oh, Allah gives us all this. This is amazing. And obviously it's increases in a sense our love for Allah too, because we know that Allah provides all this for us. Now, interestingly, in case you didn't know this, it said that, for example, kufr is actually forgetfulness and concealing of these sorts of blessings. So that's the opposite. So for example, if we're not grateful to Allah for blessings we receive, we are sort of heading down a different way. We're forgetting that everything comes from Allah. So this is very bad as well. So these are just a few little points on that. And inshallah, it's giving you something different. And inshallah, you tune into another episode of A to Z and RB English Radio. And farewell for now. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of A to Z. And for more information, please also visit our website at www.iranradio.ir.
In the limelight.
According to reports, for the past 420 days, the cowardly Zionist regime army has used hunger as a weapon to starve the people of Gaza to death, particularly women and children. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. Kayhan International wrote, "While the toll of the unabated genocide in Gaza rises to 45,000 deaths and 100,000 plus injured, most maimed for life as a result of the 14-month bombing, the Zionist U.S. plot for total decimation of the entire population of the coastal sliver proceeds along sadistic lines to present a spectacle of one of history's worst human catastrophes. Some 2 million men, women and children are starving and shivering in the winter's cold. Bakeries no longer function because of the lack of flour supplies, and relief workers of the International Kitchen trying to provide cooked food from across the Egyptian borders being targeted and killed by Israeli snipers. Scarcity of medicine and destruction of hospital equipment means the wounded have no treatment and are left to die." The U.S., which continues to veto any resolution at the U.N. Security Council for end of the genocide, resorts to hypocrisy by pretending it is looking for a truce. These are all preposterous lies by Washington, whose supply of hundreds of billions of dollars of the most lethal weapons, free of cost, for the illegal Zionist entity is the real cause of the carnage. The truth is that genocidal Joe, or Biden the butcher, the U.S. president, toasts in glee at the White House the death and destruction in Gaza with glasses of wine resembling the blood of Palestinians. Hunger has reduced children and grown-ups alike to mere skeletons. Famine stares them in the face, coupled with lack of basic essentials for survival. There are no routes for escape to the outside world for over a year, in contrast to the open border into Egyptian Sinai that was functioning before October 2023, facilitating the crossing of some hundreds of Gazans every day in quest of amenities. According to reports, for the past 420 days, the cowardly Zionist army has used hunger as a weapon to starve the people of Gaza to death, particularly women and children. It seems humanity has already died in Gaza. The oil-rich Arab states, where millions of tons of food goes waste every day, have become indifferent to the plight of the Palestinian Arabs, especially of Gaza, where people scavenge through weeks-old waste for scraps of food that is also dangerous for survival. In view of these undeniable facts, the question arises: for how long will the modern world, with its claim to science and civilization, tolerate the bestialities of the Zionist entity? The answer is obvious. It is now the right time for the conscientious people to knit ranks and support the Axis of Resistance in its holy mission to end the illegal existence of the fabricated regime of Israel. Anadolu News Agency recently reported, a new report released recently by a UN special committee investigating Israeli practices in Gaza found Israel's military actions consistent with the characteristics of genocide. The committee accused Israel of intentionally imposing life-threatening conditions on Palestinians, including the use of starvation as a method of warfare. The committee said, since the beginning of the war, Israeli officials have publicly supported policies that strip Palestinians of the very necessities required to sustain life, including food, water, and fuel, adding that Israel has systematically interfered with humanitarian aid to use vital supply for political and military ends. Covering the period from October 2023, when the Gaza al-Aqsa storm operation began, to July 2024, the report highlighted the devastating impact of the Zionist regime's ongoing siege and bombing campaigns. It underscored how the destruction of Gaza's infrastructure, including water, sanitation, and food systems, has led to a humanitarian disaster. The committee warned, by destroying vital water, sanitation, and food systems, and contaminating the environment, Israel has created a lethal mix of crises that will inflict severe harm on generations to come. The report also raised concerns over the Zionist regime's use of artificial intelligence-enhanced targeting systems in military operations, which it claims has led to the disproportionate civilian casualties, especially among women and children. The committee said the Israeli military's use of AI-assisted targeting with minimal human oversight, combined with heavy bombs, underscores Israel's disregard of its obligation to distinguish between civilians and combatants. Further criticism was directed at Israel's media censorship and suppression of dissent, alongside attacks on UN organizations and humanitarian workers. The committee also called for international accountability, urging UN member states to hold support for the Zionist regime's actions in Gaza and the West Bank. It said, "A failure to do so weakens the very core of the international legal system and sets a dangerous precedent, allowing atrocities to go unchecked." The committee's findings are due to be presented to the UN General Assembly.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Yani.
Bazaar.
Many people have ideas. However, those who turn their ideas into reality are the ones who search for ways to make their ideas happen. More often than not, this occurs by joining knowledge with method. Knowledge brings competitive advantages and generates sustainable market leadership. Its tools are creativity and innovation, which are all intangible human talents. Never more than now has knowledge been so critical and significant in production and the shift towards a knowledge-based economy. Hello and welcome to another edition of Bazaar. I'm your host Ali Reza Ikhtiarzadeh, and this week we are going to explore the central role science and technology parks play in complementing the knowledge-based production ecosystem. We wanted to see how the government is shifting towards a knowledge-based economy, and plus we wanted to understand why tech parks are so critical to industry development and the national economy. So let's get started. To better understand the country's knowledge-based ecosystem, we visited an event at Semnan Science and Technology Park where we could get some answers. Science and technology parks are where startups and innovative teams can operate in one geographical location. These areas provide diverse services and facilities to companies that fit the criteria. We were able to catch up with a couple companies that operate out of this park. One of these companies specializes in producing advanced machines used in mining. This company is one of only a handful that has managed to indigenize these previously imported products. Another company we ran into while at the event specializes in making hardware and software with artificial intelligence. Events like the one we visited helped braid together and link companies, investors, and infrastructures with the necessary resources to complete projects. These components all make up the various parts of the knowledge-based ecosystem. But we also wanted to know how science and tech parks operate and why they are attractive to businesses. One of the advantages of these parks is that it's a space where crucial resources are offered. These places are a focal point for serving knowledge-based companies producing advanced specialized products needed in the domestic market. Science and technology parks also serve as a launching pad toward the international arena. We spoke with a park official who helped shed more light on this issue.
There are four scenarios of which foreign companies could have the opportunity to reside in Sanand Science and Technology Park. Well, the first scenario will be the execution of soft landing programs between the two countries, which gives the foreign companies an opportunity to get familiar with the host country's market. Well, the second scenario will be holding joint events, including joint startup events, fairs, and similar events, which could help them get familiar with each other. And the other scenario, or the third way that a company could have the chance to come to our park, will be to find and carry out joint projects with our companies, and finally sharing the interests. The fourth scenario will be holding joint innovation tours, which gives them, which gives the companies an opportunity to get familiar with how you know innovation ideas are being implemented in other countries.
These parks are essential in filling a gap in the tech innovation ecosystem, providing monetary resources and attracting investments. These establishments also join investors with particular companies and projects. They offer numerous unique services such as facilitating visa processes, offering financial assistance such as soft loans or even special incentives under free trade zones like tax exemptions. And it doesn't stop there. This park offers so much more to investors.
The other solution or the other way that could attract foreign investors will be to define BOT models, which means they have to introduce projects and within the framework of our protocols. And once it is, it has been approved, they can operate the project for a while. This includes mainly long-term projects. Particularly, and I shall have to tell you that Sanand Science and Technology Park is very interested in projects in the fields of artificial intelligence, IT, ICT, IoT, and virtual reality. And we could help these companies. And once they have, once they build it and then operate it, they could transfer it to our park.
Most tech parks, such as this one, are active in the international sphere and collaborate with other domestic tech parks. Furthermore, these areas function as export hubs. Therefore, one of their main activities is boosting and supplying domestic products to this end. Over the years, the government has placed special attention on knowledge-based companies while implementing new approaches to support tech parks and their businesses. Some of these initiatives aim to remove obstacles along the path of development of these companies. Other activities involve giving resources to executive branches to further develop the ecosystem of innovation and technology nationwide. Along these lines, the Vice Presidency for Science and Technology has implemented a series of activities. This includes investing some $1.4 billion towards financial services. The government has also created a strategic technology development headquarters. It is tasked with implementing 400,000 tech projects and 150 commercialization projects. But that's not all. The government has also established 65 innovation centers and dozens more accelerators to support the developing entrepreneurship ecosystem. Currently, there are well over 7,000 knowledge-based companies scattered across the nation. These enterprises offer services and products in numerous industries. Many are active in biotech, computer software, agriculture, food, chemical tech, aircraft maintenance, steel, gas, petrochemicals, and pharmaceuticals, just to name a few. According to government figures, the knowledge-based ecosystem accounts for more than 3% of the country's gross domestic product. Moreover, the share of knowledge firms in the country's GDP in 2019 exceeded $34 billion and witnessed a 450% growth since then. That's all according to the Vice President for Science and Technology, Soreno Satori. Alright, now it's time for me to take a little break here and hand it over to my good friend out in the field who's prepared a report for us.
In ancient Iran, felt was already used in the production of numerous kinds of clothing, bed clothes, floor carpets, and different kinds of sacks. In fact, the Iranian world may have been an important center for the development of felt technology. In the modern world today, felt or namat has found its way to industries of all kinds in various forms.
You just can't imagine how crowded this place is. Whenever I want to talk on the phone, I have to find a sign-up place to be able to talk to you. It's really crazy. God, in today's chaotic society, stress is an issue that many of us suffer from every day. But what matters most is trying to find the stress sources and try to find effective solutions. For this reason, today I'm here to tell you that I finally found a startup, a new innovative company that has finally found a solution to this disastrous problem. I won't tell you any further. Let's just go and check it out.
Felt, or so-called namat, is the acoustic solution for rowdy places to absorb and decrease undesirable noises. The aim is to provide sound serenity and to improve physical, mental, and psychological health. Namat Studio's scope of work is based on designing and manufacturing products. Recently, it has also played a significant role in different projects like some innovation centers in Asia and Africa. This company has focused on designing and building acoustic products. Generally in Iran, there is no specific competitor in this field. However, there are some groups in America and Northern Europe that are engaged with felt.
If I want to tell you about a history about how our company established, it goes back to 3 years ago when Diva was chosen to renovate the innovation factory of Iran, that was the biggest one in the time. And the designer tried to make the offices and they tried to design a place that the people be comfortable, have a good place to work. That's why we understand that we have some advantages and disadvantages. One of these disadvantages is about the sound pollution that we had in the this area, that places were noisy and the employees didn't like that. That's why we try to use special materials for control this sound pollution. And we reached the felt material and we try to use this material.
Designing acoustic and movable working stations with the aim of recycling old products and reuse them in different functions. What is worth noticing about this business is the fact that the problem-solution method is based upon three WH questions: why, how, and what. Why is to define the problem. How is the process towards the solution. And what is the final product and prototype. These acoustic solutions were combined with architecture in various parts of the space and played the role in sound insulation and creating a silent space.
All right, now I want to walk you through some of the major products that are made of felt. The first piece we have here is an artwork that is made of wool felt that acts as a sound-absorbing material, not only as an aesthetic material that you can put it in your home place, but also as a sound-absorbing material. There is a phone booth. If I get inside, I can feel the private space and how the atmosphere really changes. It improves the acoustic vibes and reduces the reverberation when I get inside. And there's this whole thing, we call it desk divider. It's actually one of the main products in this company. People and employees put it in their on their desk to divide their own workplace with the person right next to them.
We have three different kind of material that we use on our works that absorb undesirable sounds, which are wool panels, or the other name is felt, and in Persian we say namat, and thermofelt and carpet. And the felt are in two kind of industrial felt and the natural felt. Natural felt is made by wools, and industrial material is made by a process by the battles and pet materials. They have different color patterns and thicknesses. The thicknesses are from 3 millimeter to 50 millimeter. And about the thermofelt, we have this material that we can use for more absorption. It has three kind of material with polyester, jeans, and heavy traffic, and it's very good for absorbing. And the last one is the carpet that is heavy traffic that we use in heavy traffic places such as the offices, and it can be cleaned very easy by the vacuum cleaner.
As I mentioned earlier, this idea was created based on the concept of recreating, recycling, and revitalizing the surrounding substances and generalizing this idea to the upcoming products with different potentials. Such small-scale products are intended to improve the mental and physical health of users. And finally, creating a comfortable, inviting atmosphere.
Just like this linear lighting, almost everything here is made of felt. Based on environmental psychology, this linear lighting has been created in a way to provide maximum visual and acoustic comfort in the workplace, especially a co-working space like this. This company, Namad Startup, has been trying to promote sustainability and also take steps towards industrialization. Among all the products here, there were so many things, but I decided to choose felt laptop case to carry my laptop with me wherever I go. So it's not about the ideas, it's about making the ideas happen. I've been Sarah Dema.
There is so much more that can be said about the country's knowledge-based production and activities, so before we go, let's look at a couple of developments in this area. Most of us are familiar with vitamin supplements. However, some vitamins need to be injected, which can be a hassle. Now, a knowledge-based company has produced an oral form of one of these vitamins, saving many of us from the pain of sticking needles. This pharmaceutical company has produced the first oral form of a vitamin B complex that was typically only found in an injectable form. This company also operates out of Pardis Science and Technology Park. It is also one of the first and largest knowledge-based companies. It might be interesting to know that this company mainly produces raw materials such as probiotic products needed in the pharma industry. Such productions have saved the country millions on imports so far. Knowledge-based productions are driven by scientific discoveries, and Iranian scientists produce roughly 2% of the world's scientific articles. That's according to the Minister of Science, Research and Technology. Mohammad Ali Zulfigol says Iran on average registers around 70,000 scientific articles and international journals each year. He says Iran is now globally ranked 15th for the number of scientific papers it produces. Zulfigol noted the quality ranking of Iranian articles in the top 10 fields like technology and engineering. The minister highlighted that the nation ranks 5th in nanotechnology publications as well. The official further added that those publishing academic articles also work in knowledge-based companies, helping produce quality products in the competitive field. And with that, we come to the end of this segment. You can contact us with your thoughts and comments via email. And don't forget, you can also send us topics you're interested in. Thank you for tuning in and join us next week, same time, for another edition of Bazaar. It's bye for now. Until then.
In the limelight.
French diplomacy is ignoring its obligations under international law in return for an illusory regional influence. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote, in a statement published on November 27th, the French Foreign Affairs Ministry claimed that Israeli regime Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the other ministers concerned, including Yoav Gallant, his war minister, targeted by an international arrest warrant issued by the International Criminal Court, ICC, benefit from immunities granted to states not party to the Rome Statute, which created the court. France would take these immunities into account should the ICC request of us their arrest and surrender, the statement said. In other words, if given the opportunity, France would not arrest or hand over to international justice Israeli regime leaders accused of war crimes and crimes against humanity. It is an understatement to say that France greeted the issuance of the arrest warrants against Netanyahu and Gallant without enthusiasm, merely taking note of the decision last week, while insisting on the fact, technically correct, that this is not a ruling, but the formalization of an indictment. But until November 27th, it had not mentioned any immunity. Although EU outgoing foreign policy chief Josep Borrell emphasized that compliance with ICC rulings was mandatory for EU member states, and G7 foreign ministers announced they would comply with their respective obligations, most Western regimes seem rather embarrassed, if not downright hostile, like the United States or Hungary, at the idea of having to surrender an Israeli regime leader to the ICC. France has attempted to resolve this tension between adherence in principle to the ICC and support for the Israeli regime, and to shirk its obligations through perilous legal acrobatics, consisting of asserting that since Israel is not a party to the Rome Statute, its leaders benefit from immunity. However, officials of all ranks, including a head of state or government, under an ICC arrest warrant, are not entitled to immunity, even if they belong to a non-state party to the Rome Statute, such as Israel. France had no such clause when the ICC issued an arrest warrant for other presidents. There was no mention of an immunity. That the minister's statement and the opportune discovery of this immunity came on the very day the ceasefire in Lebanon was agreed was certainly no coincidence. According to Amir Thibon, a journalist, For the Zionist daily Haaretz, the French government, according to the Prime Minister's circle, agreed to publish this statement only in line of an Israeli ultimatum and a threat to otherwise leave France out of the ceasefire negotiations process and mechanism. It is therefore in an attempt to maintain a role in the West Asia region that French diplomacy seems to have yielded to what appears as Netanyahu's blackmail and twisted the interpretation of the law. But the benefit for French diplomacy is illusory, given that the preferential treatment granted to Israel can only further erode the credibility of states which, like France, claim to justify their international influence by invoking the promotion of an order based on law and human rights. The Washington Post exhibited this double standard point in a recent editorial headlined, "The International Criminal Court is not the venue to hold Israel to account. The ICC is needed to help resolve war crimes in Sudan or Myanmar." How can one say more bluntly that law does not apply to everyone in the same way, depending on whether or not one is aligned with Western interests? Most Western countries unconditionally protect the Zionist regime, which is seen as the ultimate victim since it was the outcome of the monstrous crimes of European anti-Semitism. In the second part of its statement, which triggered less comments but revealed the political vision underlying the French position, the ministry reiterated France's identification with Israel as claiming to democracies committed to the rule of law and to protect for a professional and independent justice system. For France, the ethnic cleansing of 1948, the systematic non-compliance with UN resolutions, the illegal occupation of Palestinian territories since 1967, the colonization of the West Bank and East Al-Quds, the construction of the illegal separation wall, the apartheid system, and of course, the accusations of war crimes, crimes against humanity, ethnic cleansing and genocide, none of this calls into question the Israeli regime's commitment to the rule of law or its democratic character, as is claimed. Worse, Foreign Minister Jean Noël Barrot recently told Parliament that redirecting the accusation of genocide against the government of a people who suffered it is not only a moral error but also a legal error. These remarks were described by the French Jewish Union for Peace as negationist, since they deny the accusations, although thoroughly documented, of genocidal acts perpetrated by the Zionist regime army supported by explicit calls from political leaders. The Jewish anti-Zionist group also denounced Barrett's words as anti-Semitic, since by saying that the Israeli government is the government of the Jewish people, the minister makes French Jews into foreigners in their own country, a classic anti-Semitic cliché. The recent press release further said that France intends to continue working in close cooperation with Prime Minister Netanyahu and the other Israeli authorities to achieve peace and security for all in the West Asia region, as they claimed. More than a guarantee of impunity to spare Netanyahu, France is thus providing its support to the Prime Minister's strategic venture, dismantling by force the regional axis of resistance. Driven by a messianic delirium and uninhibited racism, the national religious far right has taken control of government action, woven its web through the state, in religious institutions and the military. It is actively preparing the annexation of the West Bank and even all or part of the Gaza Strip, as well as the construction of a third temple in Al-Quds in place of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. This idea of peace, with which France concurs, neglects, on the other hand, the lasting enmities against the child-killer regime of Israel. that the extreme violence inflicted for more than a year has rooted in the minds of Palestinians, Lebanese and Arabs in general, as well as the resilience capacity of the axis of resistance. A true peace cannot forgo a settlement that guarantees, in all equality, Palestinian national aspirations. However, this prospect is moving away. The ethno-nationalist and authoritarian wave that is gaining ground around the world and of which the Zionist regime, with the support of the future Trump administration, is the paroxysmal expression, has given itself the mission of destroying the liberal international order established to avoid a repetition of the horrors of the Second World War. By responding to the crucial acts of international justice with such casualness in return for an illusory regional influence, French diplomacy is not helping to stop this downward spiral.
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا
نُورٌ وَبَيَانٌ الْقُرْآنُ هَدْيُ الْإِيمَانِ الْقُرْآنُ مِسْكُ الْخِتَامِ
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه السلام عليكم ورحمة الله respected brothers and sisters dear listeners listening to Arab English Radio right now from all over the world. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by Arab English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really glad having brothers Hussein Ruhullah, brother Masoom, brother Hassan Nasrullah, and Ali Nasir. Everyone, welcome. Are you fine?
Alhamdulillah.
Everyone is great. And let's get started. Inshallah, today we will be practicing Ayah 34, Surah Yunus, on page
213.
Top of the page, right?
Yeah.
So this Ayah starts with قُلْ هَلْ مِنْ شُرَكَائِكُمْ. So brothers and sisters, dear listeners, hope you have the Quran with you. Turn to page 213, Surah Yunus, Ayah 34. Guys, ready to listen to the recitation?
Yes, sir.
Let's go, then inshallah we'll practice it.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Qul hal min shurakaikum man yabda'ul khalqa thumma yu'iduh. Qulillahu yabda'ul khalqa thumma yu'iduhu fa'anna tu'fakun.
Nice recitation, mashallah. So, Allah Almighty says in Ayah 34 of Surah Yunus on page 213 of the Quran, the Book of Guidance, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, Qul hal min shurakaikum من يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده قل الله يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده فأنا تؤفكون. O Prophet, say to the pagans, is there anyone among your partners who originates the creation and then brings it back? Say, O Prophet, to them, Allah originates the creation because they don't have any answer. Look, then Allah says to the Prophet, because they don't have any answer, they can't say the right answer. You should say, say, Allah originates the creation. Your partners can't do that. ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ, then he will bring it back. فَأَنَّا تُؤْفَكُونَ, then where do you astray? So, this ayah talks about the creation. The creation, okay? And the creator. Guys, remember that if you want to prove the existence of God, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, I think, says that look at the creation. Look at the creation. If you look at the creation, you will understand that the creation needs
creator.
A creator. Whatever creatures you see in the universe needs a
creator.
For example, look at your mobile phone. It needs a designer.
Yeah,
yes or no? For example, Android. So Samsung, the company, okay, designs it and publishes it, releases it, yes? So people buy it, they use. And if you go to the settings, on the option about phone, everything is written there. It's Samsung, blah, 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 version, okay? And yes, like this. It was designed here and there. When you even buy the phone, okay, on the box, at the back side of the box, it's written, designed, for example, in Vietnam or in Dubai, for example, and in India, wherever. So it tells you the this mobile phone, the creation itself, the creature, okay, itself tells you and talks about its creator. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. For example, you buy MacBook, Apple, iOS. It tells you that I am created by iOS. I am created by Apple company. Yes or no?
Yeah.
Snova, for example, whatever. Daivo, whatever. Whatever products you see in the bazaar, okay? You will understand that they talk about the company. They talk about their creator. Look at yourself. Look at yourself. If you look at yourself, the wisdom that you have, the power that you have, the talent that you have, the way your body parts, okay, all the parts of your body, they work. They all tell you about a creator. A creator. Otherwise, automatically or all of a sudden, you can't be created without a creator. Can you?
No. No.
All right? So that's it. Please refer to the Tafasir books to learn more about this ayah. So, Ali Nasir, would you recite ayah 34 once, please?
Yes.
Everybody, let's listen to him.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هل من شركائكم من يبدو الخلق ثم يعيده
قل هل من شركاء totally open, no. Totally closed as well, no. Not me. Kind of normally, okay? Not like in medium, okay? Not totally open, not totally closed. Mi shuraka. Go on.
Qulillahu yabdu al-khalqa thumma yu'iduh.
Yab. Qulillahu yab. Da.
Ul.
Ul. Yabdul, no. Yabda ul.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات المولى.
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
Don't say that shin so kind of full shin. Sh, not this way. من الشي sh, 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 not sh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, open your mouth like with an a sound. Sh, sh. أعوذ بالله من الشي, not من sh. Look, sh, it's a heavy one.
Yeah.
من الشي, simple. Read it again. Say it again.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
من الشيطان. Good job.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
أحسنتم. Sometimes students might think that if I pronounce shin with a heavy sound, like foolish sound, it's better. It seems better, more correct. But that seems more wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
That's it. Move on. قل من قل هل
قُلْ هَلْ مِنْ شُرَكَائِكُمْ مَنْ يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ
أحسنتم قُلْ هَلْ مِنْ شُرَكَائِكُمْ The mad is
واجب.
واجب. Repeat after me. شُرَكَائِكُمْ
شُرَكَائِكُمْ
أحسنتم The mad is واجب. Good job. Make sure it's a K sound, A sound, not K. شُرَكَاء. No. شُرَكَائِكُمْ. Good job. مَنْ يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ. مَنْ. You pronounced it. مَنْ يَبْدَأُ. Let me ask the reason from Hussein. Why did he say that way?
Because here the rule idgham is applied.
The rule idgham is applied, okay? مَنْ plus يَا. نُنْ ساكن plus يَا. Should be
merged. Yes.
إدغام. مَنْ يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ. يَبْ. يَبْ. That echoing sound, right?
Yes.
يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ. خَا. 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 Heavy sound. قَا. Heavy sound. Make sure. آآ. Not آآ. خَلْقَ. No. خَلْقَ. ثُمَّ. مِيم with شَدَّ extension and
nasal
sound. Okay, يُعِيدُ حَسَن. Was he allowed to make a pause here?
Yes.
Yes. Jim says you are?
Allowed
to make a pause. Okay, قُلِ اللَّهُ.
قُلِ اللَّهُ يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ.
أحسنتم. Nice pronunciation with the خَ and قَ. Good job.
فَأَنَّا تُؤْفَكُونَ
أحسنتم. Nice stretching sound at the very end. That's called مَدُّ الْعَارِضِ لِلسُّكُونِ, yes?
Yeah.
مَدُّ الْعِوَضِ. مَدُّ الْعِوَضِ. Natural mad, which is the oo sound, is changed to a longer one.
Yeah.
مَدُّ الْعِوَضِ. The substitute mad.
Yeah.
تُؤْفَكُونَ. That's the true one, okay? Yeah. But here, for the beauty of a recitation, you extend it. تُفَكُونَ. Yes?
Yeah.
Even you can use vibrations on the ood at the end. Okay. So, I will recite this ayah. Make sure you repeat after me. There is no other tajweed points. They were all easy. So, listen.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
قل هل من شركاء من يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده
قل هل من شركائكم من يبدأ الخلق الخلق ثم يعيده
قل هل من شركائكم من يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده
قل هل من شركائكم من يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده
Just like the recitation, mashallah. قل الله يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده
قل الله يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده
فأنى تؤفكون
فأنى تؤفكون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Ahsantum. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Thanks for being with us up to this time. That's it from us for today. Stay with Arab English Radio for the next coming sessions. Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir, and Masoom. Thank you so much. Allah bless you all. No questions?
No, sir.
See you in the next session. That's it from us for today. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Iranian Radio Global Mission This is IRIB English Radio This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
your headlines. Syrian army presses ahead with its anti-terror operations as the death toll of terrorists since last week exceeds 2,000. Dozens more Palestinians are killed in the Gaza Strip as Israel continues pounding residential areas, including hospitals and refugee camps.